your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Well, Merry Christmas and good morning. Welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team and broker of Movers Real Estate Company. And I kind of have a treat for you today. If you have any friends who like oil and gas collecting, I want you to give them a call and tell them to tune in to KTOK, which is 1000 on their AM dial. You guys have it pre-programmed, so you don't even need to be told where it is. But tell them to tune in, because I have Matt McNeil with me today. And Matt McNeil, in my humble opinion, is the best estate liquidator that we've got in our area. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
I call you often, don't I?
Yep, and that's great.
Yep, I call you and we go to, we'll meet at someone's house, and because they've got stuff to get rid of. And lots of times this is an estate. Most of the time it's an estate. Whether they're moving and they've passed on, to forever land, or they have moved to retirement, assisted living, memory care, in with a child, back home to Ohio, wherever someone goes when they need to sell their big house. And I say big house, and it's got a lot of stuff in it, because they've been there a long time usually. They need to sell everything. It doesn't make sense to move things across country, even if you're going to buy another house similar size, because it's expensive to move things. And so I need an expert who can help guide, and that is Matt McNeil. So I call Matt often. Matt, first thing I'm going to do is give out your phone number, because people are going to want that. Can you tell me what it is?
Sure. It's 405-820-2814.
Okay. That's 820-2814. And everyone in Central Oklahoma knows that's in the area code 405. Okay. So, what is the first thing you do when you go in and look at a house full of stuff, or and the storage buildings behind it and the rental unit they've got down the road?
Well, the first thing I do is the same thing a realtor would do, which is to establish clear title. Who actually owns this stuff? Is it in trust? Is it in probate? What is the client's legal relation to the estate? I dealt with an estate last year in Nichols Hills. I asked the woman to see her trusteeship papers and a copy of the death certificate, you know, trying to establish legal title. And she could produce nothing. So guess who packed up his briefcase and politely walked out?
Well, you can't sell. I mean, you as right. a professional need to know. You can't
Absolutely.
Sell someone else's stuff, stolen stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that's why I said, you know, do you have durable power of attorney? What is your legal relation to the estate? And it turns out she had none. You'd be amazed how many times we get calls like that. And again, same in your profession. As a realtor, you've got to have your butt covered in
a
case like that.
And I've had calls from the girlfriend of the ex-spouse of the owner.
Yeah.
And they'd lived there 20 years. So she felt like she owned the house. Well, she had no ownership whatsoever, but she was wanting to sell the house because he went to a nursing home or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so she needed to sell the house. She couldn't really afford to keep making the payments. She'd been there 20 years,
right.
had it practically paid for, but no legal ownership.
Right.
So that's the first thing you have to do is determine right. who owns the stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. And then what's your next step?
Well, whether I do $250,000 sale in Nichols Hills or a $50,000 sale in Edmond, I'm hit right off the bat with about $6,000 in non-negotiable expenses that we pay for that comes out of our commission. We work on commission. Somebody's going to want to know, well, who pays the labor prior to and during the estate sale? Who pays for the police officer? Who pays for the satellite monitored security system, the professional photographer, all the services that we offer? We offer more than any firm in the state, but those things cost money. And so the first thing I do is, okay, you've made all your final decisions. I'm here to survey what's here in the way of personal property to be sold.
Well, let me interrupt you.
Sure.
Final decisions.
Oh, most important.
That might be the second step.
Absolutely. I don't even want to see the estate until all the beneficiaries have had their firm, final, absolute, non-negotiable decisions made before I come on site.
You know, meaning if...
Right. Are you in the air about Granddad's 12-gauge shotgun? Okay, I need you to decide. I'm not signing a contract with you until I know for a fact that that gun is or isn't for sale. This is where a lot of people think they can waffle. And again, if they're waffling, I'll say, hey, let's reschedule at a time when you've made all of your final decisions. Because if we sign on that contract, that's when my commission will attach. And you will be assessed commission if you remove that piece from the potential estate sale.
And so if you've got your sister and your brother and the cousin, and they haven't looked at that estate, say the contents of that estate yet, you really should not even be there, should you?
Correct. Especially if they're beneficiaries, if they stand to benefit, whether there's a specific bequest in the will or something, just a general, we want Cousin Cora to come through first. That's fine. Cousin Cora needs to come through first before I come in. As I always tell people, it's like working with you. You're not going to sign a contract on the real estate if they say, well, now I may keep the driveway and the awnings. I haven't decided yet.
Right.
It's a perfect analogy.
Well, so, and prices matter on stuff like
absolutely.
That, too. I mean, you count on there being a certain amount in the estate for
right.
the percentage you charge
right.
and the upfront money you invest in that.
Exactly.
Your business and my business, Matt, are a whole lot like that.
Mm-hmm.
I invest not as much as you do, evidently, but my average is $1,120 the first 3 days something goes on the market. That's
right.
out-of-pocket expenses for me
exactly.
when I market a property. So I am pretty discerning over what kind – I mean, am I going to take the listing? Well, if it's not likely to sell, why would I take the listing?
Exactly.
Because I would rather buy tires for two of my kids' cars.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Instead of spending the $1,120 on marketing this listing that is not going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you're kind of the same way. Sometimes
Absolutely.
You go in and it's there may be good stuff, but it's all kind of trashy and chipped and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But you know the difference in that. So
Correct.
Your first step is ownership. Your second step is final decisions have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was your third step?
Well, first, that's when I determine, is there enough for me to take the sale, sell what's there, take my commission on what's there, and that will more than cover, will I more than cover my expenses and make a profit? Or am I going to go in a hole? And obviously, like any business person, I never want to go in the hole. And so we determine if there's enough to meet our threshold. As you know, if there's not enough to meet my threshold, sometimes there is enough to meet a smaller liquidator's threshold, and I'm happy to refer that person if needed.
So the value of your estimated value of what the estate of what the sale will bring
exactly.
is your third step, kind of.
Exactly.
And
I can't get to that step until, again, the heirs have made all of their absolute final decisions.
Right. And then I'm thinking your next step is probably, are you available?
Exactly.
And that's a complicated issue. We are going to talk about that and more with Matt McNeil, my supreme guru, estate sale liquidator. And right after we return on this break, on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. A Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for listening to my show. You know, everywhere I go, people go, oh, I listen to you on your show. As soon as I open my mouth and they recognize my voice, I go, oh, you do a radio show. So thank you for listening to that to the show. And if you want to contact me about real estate of any kind, whether it be commercial, land, residential, new homes, new construction, existing homes, I want you to call me at 722-3232. Pretty easy number to remember, 722-3232. And then go online at that's not the same thing online, is it? Mr. Gannon's in there shaking his head. BeckyIvins.com. So you can find me online. You can find my favorites, which is where my guest today is, Matt McNeil, estate liquidator. And Matt, what's your website?
EdmundEstateSales.com.
Does that mean you don't do Blanchard?
Oh, no. It simply means that that's just the domain that we use the most often. We also own OKCEstateSales.com, NormanEstateSales.com, and TulsaEstateSales.com.
So, yeah. In fact, you'd kind of do the Midwest and U.S.
Correct.
Because you go to other areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, you'll find all the information at BeckyIvins.com. Well, Matt McNeil, if you have a question for Matt McNeil, if you want to know whether it's trash or treasure, I want you to call in. 840-1000. I've got the man himself here in studio live. 840-1000. Call us and ask if you think your item is trash or treasure. Can I ask you about one, Matt?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. I've got a little cherry wood baby bed.
Mm-hmm.
The sides don't go down or anything. It's got little wooden wheels on it. Pretty old. I don't know how old. It's looks like a baby bed. Probably was intended to be a bassinet or something between a bassinet and a baby bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where I got it, but it was just from a family where it had been passed down. And is that likely to be worth anything?
Most of the times when we sell those, they're actually selling to doll collectors rather than to people with actual children. Part of the reasons is there have been so many federal recalls on baby beds due to safety standards. I'm always a little nervous when we have bassinets in sales and people buy them for children. It's one of those situations in which more likely it's going to go to a doll collector, which limits its market, and therefore the value is generally lower. Also, a lot of people today are using portable bassinets and things with soft edges, no hard rails, things like that. I would say use it and enjoy it, but be advised that, you know, sometimes we have to think about liability issues when we have something in a sale.
Well, my children all had big heads.
Okay, well, that's a good thing.
Because they had lots of brains, very bright children, and I'm sure no one else would ever think that of their children. all four of my children were in that bed, and I will find something to do with it, even in my little assisted living when I get there, because I love that little bed. I just
see all four
of my children in there. But you don't go by sentimental value when you evaluate things, do you?
No, I can't take that into account. I've got to be the objective outside third party.
I'm sure you've probably seen the sentimental value Saturday Night Live skit.
Mm-hmm. I love that one.
Yes, I do too, where the diamond was from a divorce and it was like worth 50 cents. And it was like a 3-carat diamond.
Well,
or
people forget changing lifestyles too. 20 to 25 years ago, it was very easy for me to sell a lot of dining suites. Well, today, most new construction has breakfast bars. Dining suites are not worth what they once were. Same with a lot of formal china, because people aren't entertaining that way anymore. Our lives have changed. We've become a lot more casual. It's not to say they're worthless. It's just to say that the value is lower as a result of, you know, lack of market demand.
So they're, things do change over
mm-hmm.
time, right?
Absolutely.
Nobody wants a great big roll-top desk anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, a desk, you kind of almost need a TV tray.
Right. Most young executives do everything on their iPads.
Right.
And they don't want entertainment centers. They don't want giant hulking executive desks like their parents had. Just changing needs, changing tastes.
So, yeah. Well, Matt McNeil, the first three steps you told me were you determine ownership and you
mm-hmm.
– client has to make their final decisions as to what's going to sell and what's not.
Correct.
And then you determine the value of the sale.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look for the date. How far out do you book an estate sale?
We normally book about 2 to 6 months in advance. We're currently booked under contract through the end of February in this year. We have the big Enid sale coming up. That's our last sale of the fiscal year. And then in the new year, we have Nichols Hills and Heritage Hills already lined up. They're both executives downsizing. And so that's pretty good rule of thumb. At some points, I've been booked as far in advance as 6 months. And it really all depends upon the sale, the threshold, everything. There are a number of things we take into account. But we do have to think about booking in advance. I mean, my photographer alone has a week turnaround time. So we take that into account.
Well, and you've got to set stuff up.
Absolutely. Staging, cleaning, the whole nine yards.
More of your business is about cleaning than anything
you
else,
have no
isn't
idea.
It?
Yeah. A lot
no,
of people,
I've seen you in the workplace, and you certainly are not in a three-piece suit.
Absolutely not. So many people think all I do is look at $50,000 vases all day. And I'm like, you know, a lot of time I'm cleaning off cobwebs and rat dew off things. It's part of it. And we're very strict, we're very articulate about a clean, neat, presentable sale.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to Matt again right after our news break, but I want you to call and ask. I checked and I do have some Casa Perico certificates. If you want to call in and ask a question, it is 840-1000, and we're going to be back with more of Estate Liquidation, Trash to Treasure, right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and I want to help you with your real estate transaction. I will tell you that there's more to a real estate transaction than selling the house. Sometimes you need to assist someone in finding a professional to do different things, and many times it's an estate professional who can liquidate an estate, sell the stuff in the home so that the real estate can be sold. And I have in studio today Matt McNeil of Edmund Estate Sales, or
EdmundEstateSales.com. Uh-huh.
Okay. And he sells in Norman and Noble and Enid and Tulsa and everywhere else. So, but to contact Matt, it is 820-2814. That's 2814.
Mama, come on, baby, tell me what's the word. I wind up. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you've got to get it underway.
It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to replace a commercial building roof, to install your guttering, to do a small repair, or do the whole insurance claim for you. They are experts. They've done my house twice. They've done a lot of rental property for me. And I've worked with Robbins Roofing now for, I believe it is 18 years. They've been in business 20 years. Larry Robbins and Jennifer Robbins have so much integrity. To contact them, it is 728-3700. Our word of the day today, antique. Am I an antique yet? Matt McNeil, you're the expert on this, right?
Not by a long shot.
Oh, there. Okay.
Okay. You're good. You're good.
What is an antique?
Well, there are two definitions, really, for the term. Most people throw that word around without really knowing what it means. The U.S. Customs Department says anything 120 years old or older coming in out of the country can be qualified as an antique.
120 years old? I've not even heard that.
Yep. And that's the U.S. Customs Department. However, most people use the term colloquially, and they often confuse the term vintage with antique. In Europe, it's very common to say anything that is pre-industrial revolution, anything that was not mass-produced. Well, that would have to be pre-1830 or so. But in a much older part of the world, such as Europe, that's the common definition. Most people here use it to mean really anything that they consider vintage or have considerable age, So the term is really loosely used by most Americans. But again, there are formal legal definitions. And then there are the colloquial everyday definitions that we all use. Grandma's dishes from the 1930s, I would call vintage. But some people will say, well, those are grandma's antique dishes. So again, there's a formal usage and, you know, a more common
Are there rules or laws usage. About selling antiques?
Not particularly, not in this country. We used to have some exceptions for animal products such as ivory, but those exceptions were done away with in 2014, roughly. So, but you might have some that apply to customs when things are coming in from
And like firearms.
Yes, exactly. Now, that is a good example. You're right. There is an exception there. Also, slot machines in Oklahoma, if they're of a certain age, they're legal to sell. If they're newer than that, you're dealing with a gaming commission. And the same is true with firearms. You're right. There are some things that are categorized as antique. There are some exceptions, too, for automobiles when you're selling automobiles.
So you need an expert for it. It's what it really boils down to.
That's what it boils down to.
Can I ask you about collectibles? Because a lot of people consider collectibles antiques. And my term of collectible is something that you would hunt down and find, and our collectible market kind of went south.
Right. The age of collectibles really was, you know, from about the 1960s through the 90s today, collectibles are a great deal harder to sell than they once were. For example, our upcoming sale has a great many figures by the Goebel Factory of Germany. They're called Hummel figures. They were once very, very hot commodities. Today, they're worth a fraction of what they were worth in the 80s. They're still collectible, but their value is considerably lower than it was, say, 30 years ago.
Kind of like dolls, right?
Right now, the doll market, yeah, is kind of in the toilet. But that's not to say it couldn't rebound. But at the moment, it's a slow market.
Yeah. Right. So what's hot right now?
We do very, very well with firearms, with coins, with mid-century modern furniture, with art by well-recognized Oklahoma and Texas artists. Our next sale has a great deal of Petroleana, things related to oil and gas. Very, very collectible in this part of the country, highly sought after.
You know, I ran into Steinmart yesterday there at the Mayfair Shopping Center mm-hmm. and grabbed something and came out. And both times I drove right by going in and coming out, and going in was just because I was close by and I wanted to see if you had started setting up your big sale yet. And on the way out, I just drove by again just because I thought, holy cow, those are some big petroleum signs. Absolutely. So you've got a huge sale going on like next weekend, right?
It's going to be the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Yes, visible gas pumps. Champlin, Esso, Knox, Texaco, Conoco. It's an insanely large collection, and it's a wonderful collection. This sale will have been nationally advertised. We're heavily advertising it in Enid. It is an estate out of Enid, Oklahoma, as well as in Dallas, in Oklahoma City, and again on the national market. The ads are out, and we expect people to fly in for this sale and to start lining up early on the 12th, the day before. They'll probably spend the night waiting overnight. That's how my
to be one of the first ones in. You have a line, usually.
Yes.
And you what time do you open?
The sale will open at 9 o'clock on the 13th, but we'll start giving out numbers 1 hour before. When our Oklahoma City police officer arrives, he will let people into the sale in increments. They'll be given, we do serially numbered circus tickets that we hand out. Obviously, the fire marshal says we can't let everyone in at once, and so
we do meter things. Things are likely to get broken, and
that's when you get chaos and theft and fights. Is when you let everyone in at once, exactly. So we do it in a logical fashion.
This is an enormously expensive sale, isn't it? I mean, you've got some regular stuff in there,
oh, sure.
So everybody can afford to find something there.
Exactly.
But you've got some very high dollar items there, right?
Right. I mean, we have everything from dollar tchotchkes in the back room to $28,000 visible gas pumps that have been fully restored, plus fine jewelry, coins, firearms. I mean, it really runs the gamut. The Humphreys were avid collectors, to say the least.
Well, and now my friend Mike Porter, who started the Casa Perico restaurants, says that if they've got cars and guns, they've got coins and knives. Mm-hmm. So do you have knives?
Very few, but we have a great many graded American silver coins, quite a few firearms. We don't have ammunition this sale, which is rare, but we do. We sell a lot of ammunition.
At our house, you can't find ammunition either because we go to the gun range.
I know. My house is like an armory.
I know, right? Well, yeah. I mean, we use ours. The sale starts on the 13th, and it's at Mayfair Shopping Center,
correct,
where the old fabric store used to be, if anyone's familiar with that. And it's next to Steinmart there. If you were to say Mayfair, it's sort of on the southeast quadrant, right?
Right. It's on the east side of the street between Michaels and Steinmart. It's 4932 North May. We've leased that building 36 times now in the last 2.5 fiscal years because we not only move sales from smaller cities in Oklahoma, but we move a lot from gated communities here in Oklahoma City.
Where they don't allow you to have a sale.
Gallardia,
Waterford, your bylaws, read your CCRs.
Yep.
Because that is usually a shock, mm-hmm, to some people that they cannot have a sale in their gated community.
Exactly. Yep.
So are you ready to take a call?
Sure.
Good morning. Is it Jim?
That's me.
Hey, good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Merry Christmas to you.
And the same to you.
Thank you. Do you have an estate sale question?
Yes. I'm interested in timing. Do you have a sale before you sell your house or after you sell your house? You know, what about the timing?
Well, I think Becky will agree with me here. The best of all possible worlds, it would be a situation in which I sell the personal contents. We coordinate the estate sale along with the marketing of the property. That way the realtor gets all the benefits of thousands and thousands of people coming through the home. I would have Becky put a sign in the front yard of a home where we're conducting an estate sale, like the morning of the estate sale itself. If she wants to be there on site schmoozing people while I'm selling the personal property, that's even better.
I'm such not a schmoozer.
She's a better schmoozer than she admits.
Oh.
But yeah, when we can do the two in unison, that is the best of all possible worlds. While the estate sale is being set up, I obviously can't have it shown, the real estate, because you've got a security issue. There are all kinds of strange people coming into the home. And so it's best of all when Becky and I, or any realtor and I, can work together so that we're selling the home the weekend of the estate sale.
Right. So do you, Matt, someone's wanting to call you on your phone.
I'll take care of that.
Jim, when you start doing an estate sale, it kind of depends on what the house looks like. Many times I've been able to go in and go, wow, this house will sell in the first week. So we schedule an estate sale, and what we do is put the house on the market while you're living in it, sell it in a week, and then you move out and move on. And then the estate professional, if you can get it booked, the timing of this is a little bit trickier. But then during the inspection period and the appraisal and stuff like that, they set up the estate sale. And then they have the estate sale, and we close usually the Wednesday after the estate sale. Now,
one thing really quickly, professional estate liquidators do not work with you when you're living in the home itself. You would actually need to vacate the home, let Becky do her job, whether we market the two together or one sells in front of the other. But we don't want clients in our workspace, and we don't like to be in their living space.
And you know something, Jim, the one thing, and there's many things I like about Matt McNeil, but one thing I really appreciate about Matt, he continually talks to folks about your real money's in the real estate. So don't mess with your real estate sale to try to get $10,000 or $15,000 out of contents. I mean, we can sell the stuff, but your real money is in the real estate. So keep that in mind. But I will tell you, the best case scenario is if Matt comes in, you move out. Matt comes in, sells your, does the estate sale. My sign usually goes up about between 10 o'clock the night before the estate sale and 8 o'clock the day of the estate sale, somewhere to where it's not really there until the estate sale opens. Matt and I have sold many homes during his estate sale because they get to, you know, people come and look at the home during the estate sale. The house doesn't go on the market until after the estate sale is over because we will not have showings during an estate sale, official showings. I don't want someone in there messing around with the personal belongings during an estate sale, no matter how hard you beg or how hard your realtor begs. So
so if Matt is scheduled already till February, you couldn't do any sell your house or anything until maybe March. Is that right?
Well, Becky and I work together in such a way that if I cannot help you, I know 8 or 9 wonderful companies in town I'm happy to refer. The really good liquidators here in town refer business to each other because we know how the others do business. We trust them implicitly. So one way or another, we can get you taken care of, whether I help you or not.
And I will tell you, he's very generous with referring over to other liquidators. Jim, give your information to Mike Gannon. I'm going to send you a certificate to Casa Perico Mexican Grill for your question. I appreciate it. And folks, we've only got one short segment left, so stay tuned. We're going to talk a little bit more about this big sale coming up next weekend on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are here talking to Matt McNeil of, well, Everywhere is Estate Liquidator. I think you should just put Everywhere Midwestern Estate Liquidator.com or something like that. And if you've got a question, you certainly can call in at 840-1000 if you want to know if you've got trash or treasure, or like Jim called in, want to know about the timing of an estate sale. And you can ask your question. Matt, the steps to doing an estate sale are ownership. You got to determine ownership of the belongings, who owns the stuff before you can sell it. Mm-hmm. Then the family has to make final decisions then as to what they're going to keep and what they're going to sell. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of determine the value of the sale and the accessibility of the sale. Is it in a dead-end cul-de-sac? Are they going to have to park 3 miles away?
Exactly.
And then you're going to have to schedule it to be sure that it's going to fit into your schedule or one of your friends' schedules, because you've mm-hmm. got 8 or 9 sure. great estate professionals that you refer to. I know most of them. Uh-huh. Actually, I think I know all of them. And then the folks sign a contract is the last thing. Tell me about the contract.
Well, the contract basically spells out my responsibilities, what I will pay for out of my commission, which is virtually everything, and what they're responsible for. I need your things out by this date. I need this. I need this. This is what you're expected to do. This is what I'm expected to do. I would never, ever work with anyone calling himself an estate liquidator without a waterproof contract. Certainly something we can work with your trust officer, your realtor, your power of attorney, anybody who has worked with you before on fiduciary issues. Happy to work with them if they want to be there present for the signing of the contract. But make sure that all of the liquidator's responsibilities are spelled out in the contract as well. Are you paying the credit card fees?
That's what I was going to ask you about, credit card fees, because those can be pretty high.
It's my single biggest tax write-off.
So how do you do credit card fees?
We pay for the credit card fees.
So you do pay for credit card
80%
fees.
80% of my sales are plastic, and I found that people will spend a great deal more money if, in fact, they can use a credit card.
Right. Tell me about the sale you've got going on.
Oh, man, it's a wonderful sale. It's the estate of Bill and Marilyn Humphrey of Enid, Oklahoma. They had the largest abstract company in northern Oklahoma, and the heirs and I agreed that it would be best to move it to Oklahoma City and expose it to a bigger market.
Right.
Mr. Humphrey specialized in Petroliana, and the heart of the collection is the petroleum collection. Again, everything from visible gas pumps and to petroleum signs.
Very unique signs.
Extremely.
Some are, this is like American Pickers on steroids, this
it really
sale
is.
Is.
It
right?
really is. It's a wonderful sale. But there's also Native American art, Native American jewelry in the sale, firearms, graded American coins, fine jewelry, advertising galore. There's something here for everyone. If you want to come in and buy a $9,000 diamond ring, you can do that. If you want to come in and spend $4 in the back room, you can do that too.
So it starts on Friday.
Friday the 13th. Uh-huh.
And then you're going to carry it over on Saturday.
Saturday
and
well.
Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And Monday.
It'll be a four-day sale. It's a massive sale, and we need 4 days in which to make sure that everything gets sold.
Well, and I will tell you, I'm going to give you Matt's number one more time, because when Matt has a sale, you can carry the leftovers out in a thimble. He sells everything. You're not going to have a bunch of things left over. And Matt's number is 820-2814. Always call me or go online and find me at BeckyIvins.com, and I will put you in touch with anybody I have on as a guest and help guide you in your real estate sale and all things surrounding it. Merry Christmas, Matt. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Okay. See you guys next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.